Do we have any apologies?
Yeah, Russian no wishes of that. Don't make it.
Okay. And the other apology is more than a full house. Just term on remarks. I think it would be remiss if we didn't mention the great results regarding the figures from the tourism and that has come out in the last couple of weeks. Absolutely amazing. And hopefully that reflects the efforts that the council has put in over the last couple of years. And I don't actually have the figures in front of me, but maybe Marie yourself could maybe elaborate on.
Yeah, I suppose, Chair, we did do some press releases around the time figures were announced through the Northern Ireland Research Agency. So in 2013, the council was generating 48 million tourism, generating 48 million into the local economy. And with the release of the statistics there for 2017, it has increased to £19 million. So that is a fantastic sort of achievement for all. And interestingly, John Brown, the chief executive of Tourism NI, was at the breakfast event for the Festival of Life, which unfortunately got rained off in the afternoon, and was actually commenting on the tourism results and was just commending the council on the work and the commitment that the council has made to tourism and the investment that it has made in same, and how whilst it can't be fully contributed to that work, it definitely has had a very positive impact. So it's great for everybody and for the businesses as well.
Okay, thanks for the declarations of interest. Follow them up. Then we move on to item number 3, which is the ERG action sheet from the 11th of June. So it's in front of everyone. Is there anything anybody would like to raise on that? Okay, we're happy to move on there to the next item. Proposer for that? Okay, then Robert Beckham. And then move on to item number 4, where are you going to do that?
Yes, Chair, you can also report from business regarding travel, which has been on committee before. So we're working through Plato, we're recommending that we support Plato to extend into our district, and that would be at a cost of £8,000, which we have within our budget. The impacts of that are highlighted just under paragraph 1.1 and gives you an idea of the programme output as well.
Just what the business department did last year, is this aimed at all businesses, especially manufacturers, whatever you're looking at? You know, when you're talking about getting budgets in here, what the business is.
I don't think it specifies the type of business involved, so it aims at all businesses and the targeted marketing campaign to attract them.
It ran last year, but is that right?
I don't have them with me, but I can certainly provide those numbers.
Certainly reading the report of looks very onerous and it's very profitable. Some of the base supported from 2016. Happy to contribute to it. I'm probably a question that's going to ask whether much I would contribute to it. No, I'm very happy with that. I'm happy to oppose it. Thank you.
Again, you want to know?
Sure, I don't know what to say. I'm quite honored with that. The type of project that we actually need to move in. The one question, right, this is for the whole Nearing Water Down District area or the just the area? Nearing
Water Down District area.
The whole, yes. And doing public and all the ones are engaged in it.
Yeah, we'll make sure that we can try
and
get everybody engaged.
Okay, thank you.
We'll have a proposal in the back
there. Sorry, who's contact point in that?
There is a group that actually managed Plato, I think they're called Plato Funny, so it's managed through the...
Do you know what the acronym is? Plato?
It's set out within the key issues, the outputs that will be generated through that, through the programme. As for the acronym, apologies, I don't know the meaning of the acronym, but concerning probably Google and tell you. We do know the 13 companies were involved and 11 companies entered new markets. I don't have the detail of them. And actually on the data protection, we probably have to look at just the information on these names and stuff. So we can start to get the detail and be kind to support kind of about this one.
I think that's clear. Welcome to the meeting. You know, that's an issue. There are issues about data protection. You know, and that also has been brought from here as well. That will actually be electrically clear to support from the business.
A lot of information could be included maybe on the minutes to go to the full council and then.
Yeah.
Okay, thanks, Chris. So I've got a proposal on the table there, and we're happy enough to move on to item number 5, which is Capital Land Forest Park.
Okay. Chair, there's two papers associated with Capital Land Forest Park, and that's really because of the meetings that have happened in relation to the theme. So on the first paper, the key issue is in relation to DERA applications in HRS, and we're looking to proceed with one consultant on the HRS and economic appraisal. The second paper refers to work particularly in relation to HRS and DERA and the walled garden and the bottle yard in Castle Welland. And again, we're asking to procure a multidisciplinary team. The estimated costs in relation to both are in the region of £70,000 for the consultancy and £10,000 for the economic appraisal, and we hold those within the budget. So this is the recommendations coming from the Castle Allen Task and Finish Group.
And I would propose that we go ahead with it, because there's quite potentially drawn there enough funds to help and support that there. So I would propose that we go with it.
Okay, we have that there. Willie, do you want to start on that one? Is there any other comments in relation to that item? We're happy enough to move on to item number 6, which is the Social Enterprise Million Morning Drowning Program.
Sure, and the Social Enterprise Program is something that is run through the Transparent Functions budget. We have taken a paper back in March in relation to the theme, and at that point we were looking to support, as I said, I'm not going to read through it, in the 1.1. We have noticed that there is a gap in the social enterprise, I suppose, opportunities in the area of support for opportunities. So we're proposing an additional support at the early stage in this, and that will create further support for another 12 groups on top of the original 20 organisations from the public and private sectors, 30 organisations from the Area 1 Drowning Support Network, 80 people to participate, 184 mentoring sessions, 80 business start spread upgrades, and 30 volunteers. So that's the additional things that we'll be looking to do, and that's further investment on top of the 38 of £13,000, and as I said, this is coming from the Transplant Functions budget.
Page 11 in there.
Yeah, Marie, I think you just asked one of the questions that I had. Was that additional on the previous stage? Because it's only 1,000 when I went through the figures there. Of it, that seems to be a lot of the hook for 13,000 extra. Did the program start after the decision in March this committee? And was the extra demand for that program identified from the Chronicle? Because in here for saying it wasn't passed on the Chronicle.
Yeah, the program has started, and I suppose it's something that we'll again be reporting back to the committee at a later stage. You note within the report we refer to the social enterprise hubs that Department of Communities have gone previously in the district. So there is that gap existing, and we think that using our transplant function money, this will be a benefit to the local area generally.
Yeah, and just for clarity, so we're looking at across 2 pages, 24 jobs, 60 volunteers. So
yeah,
combining the figures.
Any other questions? Mr. McCombs, any proposal? Yeah, there was a proposal and a second as well. Those Kate will be a second. That one, okay.
Yeah.
Can we move on to item number 7 then, is the Property Regeneration Project. And over to yourself again.
Yeah, Chair, this report really is for noting. Following on from previous reports to the Council, we had held a meeting with the DEA councillors with the Department for Communities. The next steps in the development of that project are set out at 2.1, and what we're saying is that we're continuing to progress the land purchase, which is the additional properties at Irish Street. We are working with relevant government departments on the heritage merit of the site, because obviously that is a an area of special interest as well, so we just need to make sure that we comply with anything there. We noted at the DEA Council's meeting that the issue of the link road has been raised again, and the DEA officers are setting up a meeting with councillors to discuss that. We will be bringing back a governance structure for this project to the ERG committee in due course, but we'll be working with the DFC, the Department for Communities, in relation to that. So really it is for them.
We hire you on the call.
Yep, just to say, it's good to see all the bits and pieces of the tech trust coming together and some just purchase and all that's been negotiated now. So, happy to support us. Very good. Thank you.
Darren, just a thing to answer to mostly the question that I've had. So, I did ask about that bit of land. That bit of land seems to be a bit of a problem at the present time. I think the agent who's dealing with that is Alexander Wiggins, or who's prepared. I wonder if you can, you know, because it seems to be that there's no negotiations going on, and there seems to be no positive return back on it yet, anyway. And I hope that this is the only holdback we have, because the other problem that we did solve in the DEA country was the addition of roads and things we got there. And if we solve them, we can kind of move on a bit further on that. So I think that's going to be a really beneficial topic in general, so it is.
Sure, in relation to the land purchase, obviously that would be a commercially sensitive issue, so I'm not getting into the details, but what I would say is that the solicitors and valuers are working on that, and we would like to bring it to conclusion as quickly as we possibly can.
And then maybe number 8 then, Belfast Region 3, the update on the other possible name of this item?
Yeah, Chairman, apologies for this paper only going out today, but I suppose I was working on it over the weekend, so just to get it through to you, to keep it fairly up to date. I suppose then, Chairman, I'll take you through in terms of detail of the paper. So basically, it's basically giving you an update of where we are in terms of Belfast Region City D. I know some members attended the members workshop at the end of June onto it. But if I move then really to the different elements of it, so as we're working, just to remind members, as we work through the Belfast Region City D proposition, we are working on the basis of £1 billion deal across the six councils involved and the various aspects of it. So a number of the projects, we had a long list of projects, and we're actually now coming down on each of the projects based on the strategic outline cases for each of the areas. So where we are in terms of the economic infrastructure is the Southern Relief Road and the New City Centre Regeneration Project. And that means that the key project has been taken off the CD. And the rationale for that there is in terms that, as I said out there, that each of these projects have got to be ready in terms of signing up in terms of region preparedness. And the deal is done between the council, the Northern Ireland executive, and also the Treasury, and all key parts of this equation must sign up to the deal. So on the basis that the Kilkeel project, because of the level of environmental works and engineering works, the project isn't at a point of time where it's agreeable. So actually, the project still will continue as a project, it just won't be included in the CD, because again, it has to be £1 billion deal for all the projects involved in it. To move on then is the tourism project, and again, at this point in time, previously we talked about two key projects, the Newcastle Gateway to the Moorings project and the Worm Point Marina. Worm Point Marina now has been excluded onto it, and again has been discussed with Worm Point Road again because the GABA input to it isn't sufficient enough to actually make it viable and in terms of the commitment to it. So it again it's been left to the Newcastle project. Moving on then to the next part of the digital and innovation. In terms of the main elements of it is the 5G smart district test beds, regional connectivity was tied into the digital broadband, and the makerspace network whereby we have these makerspaces in each of the different areas, and a digital innovation platform, which again is looking at how we can again tied into this whole Internet of Things. So where at this point in time is the council has come forward. I've mentioned there are a number of the other projects which are working, the universities are working on, but the council is looking at a makerspace which will tie into the New City Centre Regeneration Project. The idea we're looking to try and do that around the creative industries in this year, and we are talking to Queen's University and also to some of the tech companies within this area to see to buy into this idea of a makerspace, whereby we will provide a facility for young innovative companies which will use technology, cutting edge technology being developed by some of our larger businesses, and to start actually developing new businesses in this area. So it'll be like a technology hub, and actually develop nearly ties into the innovation conference together as a centre for innovation and technology, and ties in with our big companies like FB, Stad Sports, Norbrook, and several other IT companies within this area. Education, skills and employability, again the colleges are working through that there. There hasn't been much change on it in terms of the detail. They're working out the programme and the deal on that. So just to get back to let you understand, this programme will be split of the £1 billion. There'll be £450 million coming from Treasury, £450 million coming from the executive, £10 million from councils, business and the colleges and also universities. And so for example the Southern Leaf Road, we will sign a deal whereby these will be delivered on. Doesn't mean the council will be paying for the Southern Leaf Road, but it means that the executive will sign up to deliver within the 10-year period the Southern Leaf Road. Similarly, the council will sign up to deliver the New East Central Regeneration Project. The Treasury, through Department of Housing, Local Government and Communities, i.e. the UK government, are keen to put their money purely into the digital innovation side of it. And again, that's part of it. What I would say is just for members, we're talking about £1 billion deal. Our last meeting with Treasury and the Department for Housing and Community, Local Government and Communities, they're saying as they think £1 billion a bit rich. So it's like any deal, any business people doing a deal, it's a negotiation which we will need to get into. Our intention is to complete where we are on this. By September time, we have a special council meeting arranged for the end of August. I think the date's there, and I'm trying to find the 20th of August. And again, we'll go into that there, but that there may change as we go forward. So again, it's just to bring you up to date in terms of where we are in the programme. Some other projects may come up onto it because, again, the agreement is every council area will get a strategic project, but how they will work out in the end will be part of the deal. However, projects coming off, so Warm Point Marina is still a strategic project for the council, Kilkeen Harbour is still a strategic project for the council. That doesn't change, it just means how it's going to be funded will be part of the package of the deal. So, Chair, I'm happy to take any questions now. I know it's not a detail.
Thanks, Liam.
Sure.
Thank you very much, sir. And, great loss. We are making progress, and that's right. I'm saddened to see that Kilkeen Harbour is still at the moment. But just to Liam, thank you very much for all the work you have done, because I know there's a lot of work done during our draft in Kiel, and the council officers have met with Dara, and the environmental assessment is now starting to make progress, and it's very slowly, but it is getting there. So the question that I want to ask you, Liam, is, you see on the Newcastle Gateway to the Moors project, what does it mean by it being in the reserve list?
Each of these parts is in a reserve list. So, for example, we have done strategic outline cases for each of these projects, so we're bringing them all together. But at any point in time, one of these projects could go belly up, or within 5 years it could go belly up. On the basis of that, you would be able to bring one of the other projects to the reserve list. The Newcastle project is, in terms of preparedness, the Southern Leaf Road is quite advanced stage. Members will be aware of that there with a number of presentations. So it's at quite a prepared stage. And again, the Department for Infrastructure is leading on it, and they're bringing forward strategic business case that there. The New East City Centre Regeneration Project, Taylor and Conference Facility, is at quite an advanced stage indeed. We have the strategic outline case already for it. So we are actually, it's been better costed out. Newcastle Gateway Project is probably less developed at this stage, but it's still, we've still holding the list. Kilkeen project, you know, say we develop it on, it could still come into it. So these are key projects for the council. What we're saying is your top projects will be going through because they need, when we send this through the Treasury, they need to be signed up that actual projects will happen. And that's the problem with Kilkeel has, because we don't have the environmental information, we don't have the engineering information, we don't have the detail, then there's an issue in that. Secondly, that's the one point, it has to grow the GVA in the area by 4%, because that's the deal is, we will grow the GVA within the area, and we will create employment opportunities in the most deprived parts of our district. So they're the key elements onto it. So we need to align these things all together to make sure that the project happens.
Just on that end, I know further on down the agenda, Marie has gone about the Newcastle Gateway. So we are continuing to progress that as well, and that Marie will work it up and keep things very important just on the road for that.
Yes, Chairman, on both it and Kilkeel, we're doing, as I said, yeah, you know, and, you know, in terms of our glass, we are still meeting with them. We're still committing to putting the funding in. But just because it's not part of the city deal doesn't mean that the projects won't be continually advanced. The most advanced projects will come into the package of the deal. And it depends on the amount of money in the deal. And we're working within the councils on the basis of £1 billion deal. If it's less than £1 billion, then some other projects will come off. So that's the situation we're at the moment.
Thank you.
Charlie, go
ahead. Thanks, Chair. Are we going to have to prioritise some of our projects down the year? It seems to me that people are saying that £1 billion might be a wee bit of an exaggeration. If we have some of our key projects that maybe our ducks aren't all in a row and stuff like that, the time, the guillotine can spend on the money from the exchequer, are we going to have to prioritise?
I suppose we have prioritised them. That's why I'm bringing this on an ongoing basis to you as part of the city deal. But the thing is, that doesn't mean to say that it won't, that the projects won't happen. These projects are still priority projects for the council. It's just the vehicle we use to fund them. The vehicle we're using to fund these projects is through the city deal. And again, people talked about the Southern Relief Road. The issue is, this is a deal which will be signed off. The executive will sign off. Treasury will sign off, and the council will sign off. We will deliver these projects within 10 years, and we will achieve the outcomes on it. The benefit of the city deal is that something like the Southern Relief Road, that the Northern Ireland executive will know that if they don't deliver the Southern Relief Road, they are in breach of the deal. So it ties government, UK government, ourselves, and the Northern Ireland executive in to deliver these projects. And that's the benefit, is that you know the level of certainty is that the project becomes a top priority for Northern Ireland executives. Now, I know the next question in people's minds is, given where we are with the political situation, how's that going to work? But let's see the more senior politicians deal with that as we go forward. But I know the Treasury are keen to sign this deal off, so that it'll be in the Autumn Statement in whenever it's published, October, November.
Yeah.
That was my question, sir.
And they've all been
in the lack of any capacity to delay this or stop it.
I let the great political thinkers of our days sort of work how that's going to happen. We're proceeding with it. The government wants to do the deal. So we need to come up with some sort of way of doing that there. I'm briefing the politicians and the MPs in terms of what we've done out there, in terms of we need to get over this here, but this is a extremely attractive proposition to ourselves, so we need to get some way around it. So, but again, if we don't have the deal on the table and we haven't tried to be bought into it, then we can't do a deal. So we need to bring it to that conclusion. But that's an issue we're going to have to deal with in September, October. But that's an issue not only for ourselves, but you know, for the Northern Executive as well.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, the first meeting up in Belfast City Hall, it was an attractive proposition, the whole city deal. And there were some councils there that said, no, this is going to be Belfast focused, and we don't get, you know, it's very much the investment's very much, and then some councils put there and dropped off. See, if we get that to our own district, when I'm reading through this, and I'm not focusing on the strategic projects, the only challenge I'm going to be one and three, because I would have crossed the same as on their first strategic project. But they're more focused on the digital infrastructure and the employment and skills. I think, you know, we're looking for this paper. You said something there that really years printed up. Some councils are focusing solely on the digital infrastructure. Is that correct? Because I'm not on the strategic project.
No, every council has got a strategic project. Every council has got a makerspace. So, you know, every council is tied in the skills program. So councils, some won't have tourism projects, unlike ourselves, but every one of them I have. So I'm trying to think of ones that you have. For example, the Hillsborough Regeneration is one that Lisburn Capital Ray is in. If I think of one, the promenade in North Down, the Bangor Promenade Regeneration Project is the one in for North Down and Ards. The Goblins, and there's a couple of other projects in for Mid and East Antrim. So every they're all losing projects. You know,
yeah.
It's prioritising the projects as we go forward. So you know, at this point in time, the strategic outline cases are up, and they are sort of moving them down. Yes, every case is sort of case, but you're only putting your best and most developed projects forward.
I suppose what they want to do, and why I said that some councils are sort of a cold feet at the start when they thought it was going to be more about service, is that the whole district must benefit from this.
Yeah.
And that's more problem with connectivity, whether it's digital connectivity or infrastructure or whatever.
Yeah.
It's sort of a really focused building project, and it's going to be there, and there's certain money saying that, and it is the mechanism in order to get delivered or from this. But I mean, without the paper spaces and the new city regeneration, that's no good for me as a real councillor who's talking about the situation.
Yeah.
There
is, because we've got, I suppose, the digital infrastructure is tied into, you have the Competence to Play money, which is the very broadband, but the stuff we're doing with Full Fibre Network is actually looking to actually make an argument to actually bring full fibre to nodes within the district. And then tied on that there is bringing additional money. So the Regional Connectivity Fund will bring money over and above that there to enhance the level of connectivity throughout the district. Then that's also tied in terms of the skills and employability and apprenticeships. So they're actually in the more deprived there. Because again, I'm conscious of your electoral area, but then within the state building BEA, that's where the most deprived wards are. So we need to be able to demonstrate the level of connectivity. Now, some of the infrastructure projects may not have that, but there's other parts of that that will. But the regional connectivity program, is about doing that.
But it did strike me that, you know, just say for example, one by the main causes in an area. But for saying that the GVA, right?
Oh, your colleague here at the end of the office is my area.
No,
it's not going.
I was curious, you know, why, because I've done a lot of work with them for an application and I was trying to figure out why this UVA was having an impact and it didn't come up to the standards. You know, so I was trying to figure out how that happened. And we only a couple of weeks ago had, you know, we were trying to tidy up the application with a public consultation and 1.10 hub. And then it also led me on to believe or to ponder then that one project, our water bridge project, which we have, it was rather built. And I remember asking, it's been included at the time, why, for example, can that not replace something in terms of tourism? And when you look at the figures for tourism that was alluded to in the beginning of the council meeting tonight, you know, if anything gives you value for money in terms of an investment, it seems that tourism is the buzz thing at the moment. So surely that would be quite an obvious thing to drive tourism very directly in our area, with the Nara Water Bridge, or indeed the marina. But I am interested by, you know, so why, when we had already done the figures up for the main number of years ago, that it would still have an impact on tourism, why this wasn't the case.
If I could take the Southern Reef Road in terms of the impact the Southern Reef Road have on GVA, One Pound Port is staying for the delivery and expansion of One Pound Port. It's critical to get the Southern Relief Road. In terms of the impact it will have on business, if you take the Southern Relief Road in terms of bringing truck traffic out of the centre in Uri, the potential actually of development in terms of housing development, business development within the South Down area, connectivity in terms of Kilkeen, in terms of access to market, it is a much broader chance of actually bringing in the Lebanon development. One Point Molina, where it's a good project, and as I get back to it, there's nothing wrong with these projects. At least these projects we will be delivering and bringing forward. What you're doing is you're bringing the projects which are the biggest impact to the economy are the ones that are coming to the top of the hill. And that's what the economic appraisal and the strategic indicators are showing. The economic impact is greater for the projects that we still got in. Not to say that the other projects won't deliver on that.
Yes, but that's an infrastructure one. We're hard to turn in and out of each other marina for two tourism projects, which are very tourism. You know, that's different. So there's only going to be one project, and said they're going to be on digital.
No, there's a suite of programs,
yeah.
but in terms of the Newcastle Gateway to the Moors project, it's a strategic project. It's the Titanic for Northern Ireland. And with all due respect, you know, you have your Bangor Marina, you have Carringford Marina. They don't meet that same level of economic impact according to the strategic outline case. And the Narrowwater Bridge requires funding from two sets of governments, because the money isn't there. It does. Well, the council can still pay for it if it wants to pay for it. But again, I don't think you could. You can't pay for money within a southern jurisdiction.
No, it is.
So the difference. That's what I need to get back. The point is, the council will pay for its own council projects now. For say the New Centre Regeneration, we'd be looking for DFC money through the public realm aspect of it. You know, the Newcastle project, we will be looking for money from DfE, from the Tourist Board, to be put into it. So we'll be looking for government money, but the majority of the projects will be funded by ourselves. Southern Leaf Road will be totally funded by DfI. It won't. But the thing is, you're putting a package together of which the three key participants pay into it. So they will only pay into the element which they commit themselves against.
Okay, that's a chance. Michael, you're asking, don't mention one.
Liam, thanks very much for the update. But thank my colleague Declan and Neighbour. I suppose, well, first of all, reference to Southern Relief Road, I agree 100% with everything you're saying. And I think the momentum needs to be kept going and it needs to be delivered as soon as possible. There's no question about that. It'll change. You know, the gateway into the Moors, they change traffic everywhere, the sector, it is badly needed. With regards to the Warren Point Marina, just for the record, I'm disappointed that it's come off that list. I do recall many of the reports that were carried out, economic appraisals, business cases, and all, and they all show a good value added. Now, I'm not sure the cut off period or who measured it or what it was. But I was just hate to see it going. It's going for 10, 12 years maybe now, this permit, and it was very high up. It had all the green lights from Peace 4, and it really was nearly there until the last oil were failed. So I was hate to see it dropped. I know we've renewed the planning application, and I'd just like to know a wee bit clearer exactly what our plans are, how we're going to deliver that alongside 1.5 in the years going forward. Because it is very important, given the state of what we have down there at the moment, and it's just getting into an awful state, the whole area where the marina would give it an environmental lift along with everything else, along with the added value that is coming into the area.
I think Michael, that's maybe for a different argument. It's not necessarily to do with Belfast, but he's even more believing in life.
Yeah, well, you can take it off the city.
I'm going to take it off
because of.
If you want to know where we as a council are going, at the end, that there is a discussion for us to have.
Yeah, well, I'd love to ask the top man when we do.
Okay. I suppose just for clarity on the GDA, it is accepted that the 1.0 will generate an increase in GDA. The challenge you're working with on the Belfast Region City is that the GVA has to have an impact across the region. So tourism projects are actually quite difficult to build a big impact at a local level, hence you know our increase from 48 million to 90 million and all the rest. So and the Newcastle Gateway is considered to have a claim for it's the next Titanic in Northern Ireland, so it's kind of a massive impact across the north in general. But for the marina, then the GVA, well, the great GVA impact locally, it doesn't necessarily extend out to the region to the depth and puts it in the Belfast Region City D. In relation to the project, it was rightly referred to earlier, we've had a consultation to try and to retain the planning permission. We continue to talk to the harbour and how we can deliver that. Members will be aware that we don't have anything within our capital budget at the minute to deliver, and I think as the chair right to refer to, that's probably something that we would need to discuss at our capital project stage.
Thank you. Well,
thanks, Sharon. Both the questions are covered. Just in regards to the sort of the really program, I agree that that is a strategic project number one. This is a group of all the sectors right across our whole area, so it's clear when it comes to the top. Just in regards to the Newcastle Gateway, right, where we are in the world, that there is a consensus that this is a strategic tourism project that will benefit the whole entire area, the entire north, indeed the island of Ireland. Has that been given in writing in regards from permanent secretary sort of level, that the project will sit on a reserve list at a very high level? Has there been any understanding in regards to that? The other point is lifting people out of poverty and deprived wards. In regards to the capital project, such as the sort of relief, I think it's important that the social clauses well built in to them contracts at a very early stage in regards to apprenticeships and the long term unemployed getting employment and then large projects. So I would like that discussed at any meetings that is ring fenced. And I know it's the central government departments will ensure the time that is just lip service, and they're not targeting the need and getting people into employment. So I would like to see that to the forefront also. But the Newcastle project would be a game changer for our entire area.
I think probably the I should maybe it's the my writing of the paper probably the most the I was writing it last night. The Newcastle project is still a live project. The Warm Point Marine is the reserve project on the reserve list. It just maybe doesn't come across there. So we take them off, they don't come off the list. So all the projects that were on originally are still held back. What you're doing is the final deal document will be done on the basis. So we take projects off as a composite. Kikil's been taken off. So, and because as we work on these projects, you're getting consultancy time. Now there's no point in you have to cut. You can't. You're working. We are sitting at £3 billion at one point in time. We know we're looking for £1 billion. So you should start to work through the project and say, well, this year's not hitting the mark. So we'll actually move it off and we'll concentrate our consultancy time because time is essence here. We need these. Strategic outlink is ready to go in September. So you work on the projects. So what you do is you take them off, you continue to work on them, but you don't spend as much time on them as you would in terms of life. So Newcastle is still on there. I would say, and it'd be wrong for me to say, is one, it's probably the weakest of our if you take our three capital projects, it's probably the weakest because we don't have it. Not that it's weak in terms of project. We don't have the detail worked out on it. We don't have commitment from DfE because again we need them to put funding into it, and we probably can pick up in terms of cost of it. So we need to take that forward, but it's still on the table. We have a meeting of the chief executives again on the 24th to see where the cases are, and then there will be a bit of trading right there, so I can get into a position to come back to you in August time. And then when we sit down with the Department for Communities. And that there, you know, we come forward with £1 billion deal, but if they're saying there's listening, or we're getting a £750 million, that's the bottom line. There's no more money coming. Well, then we're going to have to go back and look at it again. So that's the situation we're in. And you know, with six councils, you have Northern Ireland Executive Office, and your treasury. So all these parties have got to come to an agreement to sign off the deal at the end of it.
In relation to the Newcastle Gateway, the cost is estimated on our figures at $63 million. Tourism NRA have said they're committed to the project, and albeit they can't commit capital at this point just because of but however, where there is, we need to do detailed business cases, etc., and they have supported us on a 50-50 rate on each of the pieces of work that we have done to date on the Newcastle Gateway project. The Gateway to the Moors, I think, is probably a better way of referring to it, but a more correct way. So, and they will continue to support us on that. So, with the project in 30 days, so this, it's a means to an end if we can get it, but we will continue to work to try and create a scenario where we can deliver the project.
Okay, and then for thanks, Daniel.
Just in regards to social cause, that will be raised.
Yes, I will, yeah.
Okay, we want to item number one here, another box to the FI small grants for green waste.
Sure, and members will be aware we have done some feasibility studies on green waste in recent years. And members will also be aware that there are deep concerns within particularly the farming community in relation to the green waste, particularly the ones in Downpatrick at the starting and matching the organisation. What we have is we have done a first piece of work that gave us an idea of what potentially could be a route. DFI has provided us with a letter of offer for funding to look at that in more detail, but more importantly, to engage with the farming community on both a one to one basis and through a bigger public engagement event. So, this is looking to accept the letter of offer and to proceed to appoint consultants by our team very much and work with our team in Norristown. But I would reiterate that this will be done very much in consultation with particularly the farming community and landowners. The outcome of this potential could be that we could find that any proposed routes may not work or be feasible, or we may have to redivert and try to create a different route, but we need to at least do the piece of work to understand whether that particular difference that we consider in the way that it is an important piece of infrastructure.
Hey, Chair, I'm happy to propose the recommendation. Just a few questions here, Mary. Paragraph 2.1 there. Could Paul, are we alone this year with the landowners? I know there was a large bit of work done on, so there was a year and a half ago, was it? And we never really got anything back on it, there's no grower. You've answered the question there that to a certain extent there, we may have to leave it. They have to leave this way, but just on that, the other issue there, I've come along a little bit quick. I know in the Greenway, going from Downpatrick, we suggested that the train, the train in Downpatrick, they were suggesting that they were going to extend their route, and I'm on the understanding that council has actually done vesting orders and parts, bits and pieces of land. What progress has that made? Or with this greenway, does that affect the way the train is going to operate or run there? Can they run parallel beside each other? Does this produce a problem? Just another question here is, I see there's going to be a steering committee set up. Who will be on that and who will represent us on it? And I assume the money will be next year's budget then.
Okay, so in relation to the landowners, I suppose the first piece of work done was very, very high level. It sort of looked at mapping and said, is it possible to look at the land? Could it be the greenway that would connect John Patrick to Cumber and John Patrick to Newcastle? So it gives a very, very high level. There was some public meetings held or public discussions held around that. I'm aware myself and have met with the Ulster Farmers Union representatives that there are deep concerns in the farming community regarding the potential impact of greenway. So, and those discussions need to happen at a more local level, particularly on a more one-to-one basis, so that will be part of this piece of work. The result of the fact that they have decided that greenways are not feasible, in those areas, that's something we need to just establish. In relation to this chain, I don't have the detail on the section that we have, where we have issued those. Any proposals to give this a look at that sort of detail around how that impact and how we work together with the train. So that's kind of what we're looking at here, is what is the real feasibility around this, and what are the random and real costs, and is there any way that we can divert or can we work with the random? The steering committee will come back in detail around that. We've been asking for that we'll be working on it, not trying to work to see how we get involvement from politicians in that steering
group. Thank you.
I think it's a very important project for sustainable tourism. And I agree that the subsidy need to concentrate on the people and the landlord who are on to buy into the project. But I think it does enhance the experience and the landlord's opportunities that exist along the Greenway, for the rural businesses to be established in their own farms. Understanding that there's issues, certainly there's issues with crossing, transversing across land and stuff, but you'd hope that the local representatives would have a role to play in that also. And it might be worthwhile, having a discussion with people who have maybe set up a business along Greenways throughout the island, and even bringing them in first-hand experience how it operated on their land. Just have to look at the way they're not aware of the opportunities that were developed there. So there had to be a real positive approach to this, and a proactive approach. And it's not about just employing consultants and then saying, after spending 50 grand, that's not going to work. We need to make this work. This is a good opportunity, to really benefit our tourism industry. And indeed, well-being and getting people out and active enough, and people off the roads and see it.
This scheme going into some of the railways and pathways that's running through our countryside, it's going to do that. Well, where are we with some of them within the ground area? That now there's people starting to build houses and one thing or another, and all these railways are starting to throw these railways off. They're even getting into rural farmers in it, because there's railways through different railways within the ground area. Where are we with this? Because I understood that was being compiled. And I never heard any more about it.
Yeah, sure, that's just the corporate services. Now, if there are recognizing a couple of issues that you want to provide them to, you can join them and get an update.
Okay, thanks, Lucy. Then we have a proposal in a second, but so we move on then to item number 10, the Karen Jones Raising Friendship Agreement.
Did you hear that?
Chairman, just to bring you an update on this here. Haven't had a meeting this afternoon there, but probably at this stage on it's sort of development. Chairman, just what I've done is we've been working liaison with Changchun region in terms of the cooperation agreement. Members will see this as a friendship cooperation cities agreement, so it's the first stage. Within China, there is a staged approach which is led by the Chinese government in terms of how regions can cooperate. So again, this is the first stage of it, which the chairman would be asked to sign when he is in Changchun. There's also an education agreement to be signed between the colleges and the education authorities in Changchun, and there's a Chamber of Commerce agreement which will be signed by Newry Chamber of Commerce and with the business sector within the area. Second to the visit is also now involving tying into the Fourth Leaders Summit, which involves a number of our councillors in Dalian, which will also be attending, representing this region now, along with another executive. So, Chairman, I'm speaking, it's probably just an update paper. I know the council has previously agreed that the chairman himself should attend. Now the Chamber of Commerce College score. I'm wanting to bring another officer with us because there's a number of pieces of work that needs to be done onto it. I think we need the resources there to do that. So, Chairman, again, also if we can get agreement on that, and also get agreement on the draft a cooperation agreement for saying when we're out there, Chairman.
Okay, so we're looking for those in the second for that. vehicles get picked here?
Yeah, just a few questions. We need to know what the idea is, and we talked about this with the council, that the new chair would kind of tend to, if you strike off some business deals and whatever, you know, making business to people out there. It simply can't be, you know, where we're looking at this thing next year, this is here, this is there. It has to be some tangible at the end of it. So what is the end goal for this? Is it, we say over there, there's an agreement there that is between everyone down council and the Toronto area. But I see in the document that other councils are going and then people from, you know, investing in business. So is this Northern Ireland council going together as a whole going out to try and attract foreign direct investment in China, because the presentation is going to be set in this area? Is it set in this area for business companies to come and set up in this area? Or is it, why is it going back and forth? So what will be business of this area get? Because what frustrates me over the last couple of years, and there's another issue coming up in conferences, the conferences and agreements and visits, there's nothing tangible at the end. I can't come around to a business and say, this is what we're going to get out of this. So I'd like to know, I know what the idea is, where we hope to get with this, and when we come back from, when the representatives come back and train on, that it's staying in the business community, and that there is some sort of tangible cooperation here, and not just the specific business. So where do we see ourselves
this
same next year?
Probably the answer is, Pete, I don't know what's out there. Because the first meeting was really a meeting at the Third Leader Summit, which was held in Belfast in December time. We met the representative in Changchun. We then said we'd begin work at an officer level. This is then, China is very much a very stepped approach. So the view is, at this point in time, the Northern Ireland Executive has a link in with Beijing and Shanghai. They have developed this here, so David Sterling is the head of civil service, has signed the agreement in terms of doing work. Belfast are the first ones that have a regional deal, and I can't remember the series that they've got of it. Derry, City of Saban, have signed the friendship agreement last year with Dalian, and they're bringing it forward. Again, what I'd say is that we've got the colleges, you know, we've got one of the directors, Keith Kirkpatrick from the college, SRC, is representing SERC, and they'll be signing an education agreement with Paul Convery, who's the president of the Chamber of Commerce, attending on behalf of Newry Chamber of Commerce. At the Dalian Conference, Invest and I will be attending with a number of Newry companies there. They haven't confirmed which Newry company to come, but Invest and I are working on that there, and we'll be involved in that. So it's not, this isn't Muriel Moore going on a solo run here. This is Muriel Moore and down as part of the, and down, as a subsidiary of things. Muriel Moore and down working together with the Northern Ireland Executive, working together with InvestNI, and working with our colleague councils in other areas to look to develop it. Pete, I would be wrong to say that I know exactly where it is, but again, this is not a twinning arrangement. This is, they take about four or five steps before, as a whole about relationships. I won't get to know them. I suppose what they're seeking is that we would give an invitation to the representatives from the mayor of Changchun to visit here in 2019. So what we need to do is have a couple of bilateral arrangements, and then what we'll say is it's beneficial. But the thing is, the good thing from this is it isn't really morning down on its own goal. We have actually got senior executives from the college and the president of the Chamber of Commerce, they are representing the business, so, and they are signing agreements there. So the things are, you have a civic, business, and education link, and we take them forward on that basis.
Well, just to finish off, I suppose that's very honest and transparent answer. Yes, and I understand what you're saying, that there's three or four steps, and just one of the reasons councillors lose financial agreements, I understand there could be two or three steps in order to get to some of what we're trying to do with that is pretty much what my question was. And I know that in this scenario, you're making presentations, that's what you're making presentations, and then the same agreements themselves. But if the council and states in this paper would be making a presentation on the state's opportunities and cooperation for investment in an area, and all other councils be doing that as well. So I was wondering, was it trying to attract FDI in the area, or was it just?
We're trying to attract FDI, trying to sort of say what is the compatibility. You know, my understanding is a big, in terms of, for example, I know they were interested at the time we were chatting to the guy down into it. Obviously, I know that venison and deer is critically important. We have one of the biggest producers of venison in probably in the islands here, in terms of Finnebrogue. if there are opportunities there. I don't know, but what I'm going to do is, we will be going out doing a presentation selling the attributes of our area from a tourism perspective, you know, and, which is another selling point of it. And then we'll see where the connections lay, and then we tie up a little there. But you know, I know for example, FD and people like that there want to have, you know, they need to be bringing, you know, people to their area in terms of skills and stuff like that there to our area. So you won't know until you start to do it. And again, I suppose this is the first step onto it. But it's not a fishing trip for connections. There's a solid basis. You know, we have a business conference on the first day with 200 businesses. There'll be civic functions. We're visiting the university. We're visiting. They build all the high speed trains from all over the world. Are built in Changchun region. We're doing a number of factory business. Then we go to Dalian, where Investing and I are doing the summit, and we'll be doing a presentation along with the head of civil service, Derry City Council, and with Belfast City Council into it. So it's a very structured trip, you know.
Okay, thanks.
Okay.
Do you need a sign on this?
Yeah.
I'll have a sign myself. And to be quite honest with you, if you don't actually go out and engage with these people, then it's going to be one of the largest economic engines in the world for this. So we need to engage with them, so we really need to actually get involved with them, so they
It's just maybe to wish the delegation good luck. Our international forum group did get feedback on it after the meetings in Belfast, and I think it's quite excited about it, particularly the interest that they had in this area and with particular sports organizations in the area and so on. So I would like to see all our relationships with different areas brought under a just a city umbrella, but that may not be absolutely possible, but it's a good type that there are four agreements, and you don't know what sort of agreements will fall out after the meetings that they have. I suppose one question was on the costs I listed there. Is that, are we only paying for council personnel, councillors, council personnel, everybody else picking up their own tasks?
Yeah. The only thing is the Confucius Institute, which provide training and translation services. We would have to pay for their flights out, but that's our translator, that's people that will do work with us. They're actually going to translate our documents into Mandarin or Chinese. They're going to do work on business cards with us. They're going to do training in terms of language training as well. So, and then we would then bring that connection person out to us, who will be our translator on the trip. So that would be certainly Jim McCormick and college. And picking up their own travel to you.
We'll move on then to item number 11, which is the Eastern Economic Corridor Conference.
Okay. Sure. Again, this is a proposal working with the AIM Council and the Eastern Economic Corridor, and they're listed at point 1.1 there. And really what we're trying to do, it's not just about a conference, it's also a study that's been commissioned through the Ulster University and Dublin City University, and it's looking at these real economic opportunities along the corridor and potential projects of economic merit that can be delivered in collaboration. So that piece of work will be, it's part of our commission, our talk, but it's part of the commission we have already financially agreed through the Ulster University. And our costs are covered through that agreement for that aspect of it. We're looking then to hold the conference in early 2019. And really, I suppose the ambition of the conference, in partnership with all the councils along our Eastern Economic Corridor, if I can say that, is to highlight and explore in greater depth the significant economic potential and benefits cohesive corridor, and really is supposed to bring to the forefront the opportunities that exist in this area, and obviously that will be derived through the studies that's been done, and to, I suppose, bring us to the an international platform and saying that this Eastern Economic Corridor is really critical for development, and is as big a player as any of the other cities in Europe. So really we're asking permission, as I said, the Ulster University cost to cover this part of our research agreement that we have with them, and then the conference cost for the council would be £15,000, and each of the other councils are agreeing to commit to that, and that would give up the cost for 50 delegates as well to attend.
Hey. Yeah, thanks, sir. This is Souls, I made a great time for conference. This is the one I saw, and the reason for it. First of all, the steering group, eight times have come together on the steering group with our committees. When did that happen? Suppose it's something in the past before I came on the council, or the feed into other groups. For example, it feels to me like it's in the Russian doll of collaboration, when no group, there's groups collaborating inside groups, and all the rest of groups aren't aware of it. I am on the Brexit committee that the council established. I brought up about doing some cross-border work. I know we talked about it at the next meeting, the meetup of businesses and people in Dublin. We weren't aware of this. So that has to be fed in, because it seems to be the same body of work going on in different areas, and councillors aren't aware, and it's very hard to sort of keep up with. So the challenge of connectivity between these groups, if there is the end group set up, that surely should have been discussed at the last Brexit group when we had invested in our year as well, and different things to do. And as you know, we're looking at a conference in January, October, November, or December, and I think it is for this probably won't be done before the conference, and things are changing with Brexit. So now in October we're going to have more changes, and then we're 2 months away from the conference, where the Brexit date is set, and we're 2 months away from that, we've got many economic opportunities, which will surely change, but that opportunities will change. But that is not really being critical of any reports. I think reports for the University of Ulster are excellent. I think when you have more of the council came together, it does give an international platform, as I say. So I do agree with us, the council coming together in the same group. Because when you have more of the council came together and produced documents and risks and opportunities brought to Brussels, I think that document itself is just brilliant, because as Charlie says, it's factual. It just deals with facts. And when councillors have that information, it sort of readies us for any debates coming around the name. But just where the steering group came from, how far are we along with it, is it early days, and can we have some collaboration with these steering groups in the Brexit group and the European Union?
Yeah, I suppose, Chair, the steering group, I think, was derived through the chief executives, and I don't know if anyone wants to comment on that side of it. We can certainly link it in. This isn't specifically of the Brexit impact. It's not specifically about Brexit. We just need to report back on the Brexit group. And in that, I think it's fair to say this is in its early stages as well, and these the study that's been done by the universities is critical to developing how this actually works out. And it is challenging, because none of us know how Brexit is going to work out. But I suppose what we're trying to do is, in some ways, look beyond and trying to create economic opportunities for all of our businesses and all of our communities along this area. And it's highlighting the importance of the connectivity along that Eastern Economic Corridor. So Brexit, wise, it's there, and I know it will impact. It's not the red and black for this. This is something that is separate to some degree, albeit I accept it is being active. But Liam, maybe if you want to be there on the chief executive, because the ribbon came from there.
Chairman, I suppose we had the Belfast Region 3D, we'd done a piece of work on the whole idea of high speed rail link in terms. And you also, it ties into, I suppose, the issue with Ireland 2040, which is the strategic plan for the island of Ireland, whereby we're saying is the population within the corridor between Belfast and Dublin will grow by over 3 million by 2030. The impact that will have in terms of economic driver within the area. So the conversation really fell from, first of all, from them two aspects of it. Again, it was no more than a meeting with myself and the Chief Executive of Dublin City Council, the Chief Executive of Fingal City Council, giving us up the airport. And we said, we need to be starting to think about a vision. This is not talking about what's going to happen in 10 years. This is happening in 20 years' time. How do we start to plan for the infrastructure and start to get people to do some vision thinking? And the idea was that if we did a seminar and got some key academics to talk about how regions develop, how we can position ourselves, I suppose that's for the conference. So it ties into the work that we've done. That's why we now kind of guys involved Joe Martin into it, because again, people will be on the know that we are supposed to organise a conference around early 2040. So we've seen this as an opportunity to do that. So to pick all them things in terms of how we develop them in the long term, it's no more than that point in time. It's to begin that conversation and start a position that, you know, Ireland 2040 shows the debate about where the development on the island of Ireland should be. What we want to say is between Belfast and Dublin, impact of Brexit, impact of development, both from housing and infrastructure, you know, it's going to determine how the economy on the island of Ireland will change and how we'll engage across the world, and that's the sort of thinking we want to be getting coming out of the conference.
As Councillor, I suppose London Megan, what you say was high speed rail link, around 2040 on documents, and that makes absolute sense. The eight councils coming together, as I said with them, all the councils, that makes absolute sense. But it comes to me as a councillor on a document on the decision being made, and that's the frustrating thing, that if I don't find myself looking for other things, find out who is this DA for the job. What I mean is collaboration between all the different groups. It keeps us off the scratch with everything that's going on. With the contribution towards the conference, and the study and the body of work that the five members are in University of Ulster, this is the most important thing. And I understand the conference is a platform for launching studies like that. But is the contribution of 15,000 members to the delegates, it says the contribution towards the conference, is that something that was already discussed with all councils and agreed between all councils? Because, you know, we're looking at 50 delegates going to the conference, but we went to a couple of the conferences over the last year, and we're looking to get 5 or 10 delegates going to it. So are we taking into 15,000 for all kinds of put into this part to run this conference? And that amounts to 300 delegates, so that's 50 delegates, because you're not going to get that. So we're taking that. Because I'm more interested in the study. Yes, we need the platform for launching. We have great ones up in our hand. We have really good conferences. I'm not going to go down. But I mean, 50 delegates come from this category. There's not a full chance.
This is the first that's come to you. It's like a lot of these things, you identify a number of people that have come together. The chief executives, the chief executives, not from across the eight councils, actually from like four councils, five councils come together. We met at the end of May and we said, listen, this would be a good idea. Let's get a few of our officers, let's phone, see if the other councils are interested in it. So first, this is coming to you as the first time. It's no more developed than they come back and say, what will we do? How will we put together? Can we put a proposition across our councils? So it's coming to you. It's quite a new idea in terms of doing it. Now, I say, why would we not get involved in it? I suppose that's what it said. It's no more than say it is, you know, Ireland 2040 is a critical document. You know, we'd agreed to do work between a number of the councils on the whole idea of being able to get from Belfast to Dublin within an hour by 2030. Infrastructure, we've done an issue in terms of what's the impact of Brexit going to have in the area. You know, how do we see this is economic curve? So it was that thinking, totally informing. We met together literally for half an hour and we said, listen, let's get a few officers to knock this idea together and get it before our councils. So you're getting it. It's not something that's been in gestation for months and months and months. It's just an idea. We said, well, it must have a cost to do it. So it cost us 15k. We said, listen, well, okay, let's put it before our councils. It's going to all the councils at the same time.
15k.
Yeah.
Yeah,
sure. Just, I'm going to ask, do we know if the Great Island and the Northern Ireland have been involved? At this point in time, I couldn't say for definite. I imagine they would be. I wouldn't see the reason why they wouldn't have been involved. And if they're really involved, because, you know, you'd be trying to tie all their organisations into it. But again, I suppose it's councils sort of trying to set the strategic direction for the area. So it's about business, but it's about infrastructure, it's about housing, it's about coastal erosion, coastal warming. If you think of what the issues are going to be for this area, then we need to start planning on it now, you know.
Mm-hmm.
No, I think it's supposedly one of the economic benefits.
Thanks,
sir. Yes, again, I'm a joint chair of the Marine Council Committee. Definitely work at this here. And I think it is very, very far reaching. Good visionary work at the end of the day to bring those here together. And I do like the idea of the senior competing on the junior. But the Wadoonic is excellent as well. I'm sure they support it.
Organization, you know, what steps will you take and work with organizations that you're already involved with? So they said, in our case, we're members of East Border, and then you've got other kinds of members of Lake Connect Fund, whatever. Maybe he uses expertise there as well, but I think it's good to other organizations that we work with as well.
Yes, I'm taking the board and still looking for a second or okay, so thanks. We're on item number 12, which is the new Town Hall Sean Hollywood Arts. Andy, you take a listen.
Yes, sir. The paper says about the plan to go out for expressing interest to stop for transfer license on a set number of occasions for New Town Hall and the Sean Hollywood Arts Park Centre. We gather customer feedback and believe there's a lot of demand for hospitality provision of this type, certainly larger production shows in particular in the Sun Hall and Arts Centre. We would go out for a set number of occasions and then review the service after that a certain amount of time. And this would have no impact in terms of the development, the ongoing work to develop data and conference facilities on site that actually provide the market evidence. On the provision of a hospitality service in the centre, in the Town Hall and the centre.
Guy, you're living in that?
Yeah, sure. I'm proposing it. Actually, we want to see the Town Hall used, we want to use as much as possible. I mean, we did have certainly the restaurant around the Arts Centre for a number of years, which was very successful and we could buzz around. So, like I said, it's a good idea, and the more people have any use in terms of the Town Hall and the Town Centre.
Exactly. Okay, now everybody happy then, we'll move on in to the next item, which is the Moines Gateway project. I'll be again.
Yes, Chair, the paper sent me the latest on the Gateway project is really all known from Liam's discussion on the Belfast City deal. The project received very positive feedback in some recent market testing undertaken by Tourism NI with international tour operators. So really the next stage is to develop an outline business case for the project, detailing the projected cost and income, and this will help ensure that the proposal can be still included in the considerations for our city.
Well,
Chairman, I just propose that we do agree with the Office of Regulations for the business case to be
covered.
Is that your opinion now? Yeah, Chairman, I'm happy to say another. Quite honestly, looking forward to getting this project moving forward quite as fast as possible. The problem is something with a big shadow over the world. Feedback has been positive and ready for those. The vision study outlet has outlined the case and the project costs and balance needed in more details for the day. So we do really need to get this into place. All the background also to do so and the perception that we have to pick up a name here in order to get to them. Thank you.
Okay, then we'll have to move on to item number
14,
which is the Golf Tourism
Again. Yeah, Chair, this is to set out the opportunities that the Open Championship Comes Aboard Russia 2018 presents. Council officer attended the recent championship in Carnoustie in Scotland in July to really promote this region in the build up to the Open Aboard Russia next year. And our officer attended as part of the Group Ventures and NI trade stand at the event. And all costs were covered by Tourism NI. As a result, several golf tour operators have committed to visiting and staying in this region next year in the build up to the Open Championship in Portrush. And recently they are going to update, there's a group of 38 golfers from New Zealand that will be staying in Tamalington District in July next year. So as you appreciate, this brings £1,000 worth of economic benefit to the district. And really, the opening would rush, it's set up to be a sellout already in record time. A lot of the tickets are gone, but it does offer a huge opportunity for us to promote this region and the golf offering that we do have here. The paper really sets out the proposals for a band trip to bring in international tour operators and golf journalists into the district this year to really help to sell our offering to an international audience. Well, I was very interested to see that I think the cause of close to the aims on this as well have let itself to get in order to distribute the business across the council. Obviously golf courses, but hospitality and accommodation businesses. Are you ready to attend this? Excellent. It's something I'd like to see our council getting to grips with between now and 2019 and making sure the businesses are aware of the opportunities that are there. But also, I'm going to probably be really happy again. I looked at the map they showed, the map of Northern Ireland and all the golf course around us, and the most of them would have gone right, as if, you know, set a map and have the golf courses going through it. So I'd like to go down across the area and identify all the golf courses and accommodation across the area, like Moorland and Cunningham golf courses, the fantastic courses. So not the folks in the main, and everybody has made all the golf courses in their area. I think that I'm not going to argue against them, but talking up there with Doyle. But just that we can give all businesses at least a heads up on the potential tourism that's coming in. Because only 8,000 people coming in here in 2018 is very good. So, I welcome the member, but just to have a vision on the 5,000 we spent in this system.
And I could share that we're working with the tour board and the Causeway Coastal Plains Council to look at having an industry day hosted here, so we can provide more information to the golf clubs and to the accommodation businesses to try and attract as much business here and as many openings here as well.
And maybe just on that, sorry, Chair, if the document that Causeway Coastal Plains have, I'm sure you might have seen it.
Sorry.
The document that Causeway Coastal Plains have, the top 10 tips, is excellent. So, you know, we can have a look at them and then just read something on another kind of.
Yeah. Can we have a proposal in the panel for that proposal now? Okay, number 15 then, Dalmont Country Park Master Plan.
Dalmont is a significant tourism value to the district, and following feedback from tourism stakeholders and from councillors in the RoAlmDA in particular, we have undertaken a procurement exercise to appoint an experienced consultant to undertake the development of a tourism master plan for Dalmont. It's really aimed at maximising opportunity that the country park presents to us over the next 5 to 10 years. This paper requests approval to initiate an engagement, comprehensive engagement project, process with local residents, user groups, stakeholders, and businesses really on the development of this master plan, so we can really develop a unified and really ambitious vision for Dalmont. I was just looking at some visitor statistics there, and the park attracts 242,000 people in 2016, so it's really to try and build on the strong customer base that we've got and really make the most of what is a fantastic site.
Billy, you're not on the committee, but you did ask me before the meeting, so can go
ahead. Sure, thank you very much, and thank you, Andy, for this paper being brought forward. I spoke to yourself and I spoke to the director in relation to Dalmont Country Park. I wanted this item placed on the agenda because, as a role of councillors, we've held a series of meetings over the last year in relation to Dalmont. My personal view is that where that endowment, so that some of our in relation to attractions there, the way the parks run, the number of complaints I have received as an elected representative would actually frighten me in relation to the number of issues I've raised them with yourselves. I actually showed you a message that I've got from a disgruntled race player, someone who visited Delamont, the way they were treated, the language that was used to them and that, it's not acceptable. Now, I think we have an opportunity now to promote Delamont, to take it forward with a lot of user groups, as you say it. So you have myself and Christopher Andrews have already met with yourselves. I had arranged the meeting along with Christopher Andrews in relation to how we can take Delamont forward. We met with the Education Authority. Last year we lobbied the Education Authority to save the outdoor education centre there. It was for closure. It was rubber stamped for closure. Me and Councillor Andrews had 3 or 4 meetings with RDT senior officials. We managed to persuade them to look at Delamont and have it as a centre of excellence. They're doing that. AMI has already met with ourselves in relation to the Education Authority, and that they're very, very keen to work with us to bring attractions there, as is the Skateboard Education Association that's just a mile down the road in Killarney. They want to work too. As well as the Down Coastal Rowing Club, they want to do the same thing. And I think this is a perfect opportunity that we take this forward, because as I said, and I have went to the press in relation to this, that, you know, I'm sick, sore, tired and fed up of Delamont seemingly being overlooked. We've always been told, oh, it's in the pipeline, there's a paper coming forward. Well, I'm glad now the paper has come forward. We're taking it forward. And I think we can grow Delamont. Now, there is a couple of issues there that need to be dealt with in the short term. One of them is charging. Now, the number of complaints that I'm getting about seasonal pass holders who's paying their money, they're then going up into Delamont and saying, half times the money's not collected. At the gate, other people getting in every day free of charge. No, but no, that's okay. That's all right. Well, that is one issue. A lot of it needs looked into, so it does, because people are also saying other parts are free of charge. So they are. You know, and that's one of my gripes. You know, we can turn around.
I think to be fair, but we've made quite a lot of comments there, and the recommendation is asking for a comprehensive engagement process, and I think all those issues.
Yes, well, just to sum up then, I welcome the fact that this paper's come forward. Now, I don't want it sitting in the shelf, gathered dust. I want it to be acted on, and I want their long counselors kept up to speed and what's going on, because we are very passionate about Delamont Country Park. We believe it's one of the jewels in the crown, so we do. And I hope it's taken forward, and I'm looking forward to working with the officers and taking it forward.
Hey, hi.
Thank you. Well, welcome, officers, working this time. We appreciate all the time you spent. I really look forward to seeing your vision and moving forward. It's good to see local stakeholders getting involved in user groups and engaged and all that. And as we all know, Delamont has a huge potential, and it's great to see it moving forward and happy to propose that they accept the report. Correct? Thank you.
Thanks, Chair. I'm happy to second Harry's proposal in the language. Delamont is a very successful park. I didn't really know the numbers until Andy has said them, and that was huge. So it's one of the best attractions, so we need to improve it. So the master plan needs to be put in place as soon as possible. We need to get the provider in place, so we do. The biting and moving forward must include everything, so it must, all the suggestions, so it must. We do need to engage with the community, so we're doing all the stakeholders. And to be quite honest, that needs to be done as soon as possible, so it doesn't, for the next 5 to 10 years, this will be a big game changer in government parts. So I'm happy to sit to the side of the proposal, Chair.
Okay, Terry, I'm letting you in again, but very briefly.
I'll tell you what, Chair, I have a list of updates what's done in the short term, so I won't hold this.
Thank you, Matt. Come up to Marie afterwards.
I'm not going to be there.
Thank you for the fight, Robert.
Yes, Chair, I would support all of this that said. That's a pretty good paper on it. I hope that it will start sooner rather than later. But is it possible for everybody to see the manager off the park? That probably a couple of times during the day, especially the weekend time, when there's some other kids in the play park, that somebody goes down to the rake and rakes a bit of wood chip back into the puddles, because if you're on the three granddaughters when they come back again, you need the hose on them. Because it doesn't, you see, they put the wood chip in really once or twice in a year, so that's what they do, but they're staying into the soil, especially the end of the slide and the end of the swings. But maybe they could be doing something there, like the one thing I know I turn on a Saturday, just to come back in. Thanks, I'll
take that on board now.
Yeah. We'll take those comments all on board, and just to say that we're waiting for the appointment to sign the contract, and we expect that to be done today. So, in terms of moving things forward, that will happen very quickly, and we'll actually be organising a phone call next week just with the appointed contractor.
Okay, folks, I have a proposal in the second for that. We move on then to item number 16, is the financial assistance tourism event. And from 16 really to 19 are for local, unless anybody has any comments with that next number. So I'm going to take them all together. I think you're looking in there.
Yeah, I mean, 16 the tourism events, so there's keen to see the figures on this. And first of all, I just want to thank Andy for the discussion with Andy before the number of things with some of the questions I had for answering. I do agree that with all the tourism figures in Marie and yourself, Chair, and the staff, tourism figures across the district are exceptional. The money coming in across the district is exceptional, and this is a good news story. So please don't take it like that, don't take it as a media and open the pressure, it's just not for clarification on this. Marie, I'm not going to visit the figures, I'm just going to be very, very brief. The figures on the application that was successful in Call 2, but, and my queries were about 66% of the money was given. And not 100% of those that were successful. We went through a number of criteria here last year, I think it was 4 or 5 different points, and we talked about feeding into the tourism strategy, having a bit of a goal of the fact of business, and so on. And they were very generic, you know, they're too simplistic. We're just going to never just walk in this country and ask the groups to apply to this fund. You meet 80% of this criteria. And if you pay the funds, you should be successful in getting this and attracting more tourists, more people to the area, and grow on our tourism budget. I went through the guidelines in the financial assistance after the broader public council meeting, and I think the guidelines in the financial assistance are ambiguous as well. It doesn't spell it out there. And one of the things that's not my concern, the CFO said at the office, is each application has to be against certain criteria in the financial assistance program. And I've taken a few applications that I have in my head and went through that criteria. But it's where we take in the assessment of proportionality. At no point through the process are people aware of this. And I think whether if that's what they're going to do going forward, I understand why it's there, I understand the need for it. But people are basically saying if we have over a certain amount of visitors from to this area, we qualify. But the reality is that's what they attract even more visitors. They can get 100% of the funding, while investors that actually go over the threshold and think about the 100% of the funding don't. And then they get stressed. The groups feel as if, and they're feeling out there that the council doesn't trust community groups on investors, and that's not me making a statement. I'm not saying that here from this meeting, but I'm saying there's a feeling whenever we don't understand why they didn't get the 100% of the funding. So I think going forward next year, we did see that there was the demand for this goes, if you put up 250,000, 300,000, you will get applications for us. But successful applicants will 4,000 below the one that we set aside. So I think user groups going forward need to be very, very clear, and councillors need to be very, very clear on the criteria. And I think even on the guidelines, just to finish off on this point, the guidelines, there's a few things, provide evidence of the contribution to the four main teams of the Council of Tourism Events Boards. There's no event that would be to the four main teams. So even simple things like that there, one of the four main things. You're going to have a music cultural event that won't fit into the giant adventures and vice versa. It only states on the financial system guidelines of total visitors, it's almost right on the thousand. I am well aware that when the proportionality came in here, as stated in this paper, that some groups didn't get funding that they talked about yet. And it just, people then become upset with and decide treating it about the fight between council funding and community funding. A number of the times, Anne did clear up before the meeting, as I said at the start of our time before that, but I want to make sure going forward for next year, the
proposed also stands for and community groups are very well aware of what groups need to do in order to get employment on a national standard legislation.
And then could Chair the partnership with the financial assistance soon as there's a review being undertaken of the financial assistance programme, and certainly prior to any calls next year, we'd be looking to make those points very clear in terms of criteria, and we'd be more than happy to meet with any prospective groups that would want to apply for home, just to clarify the criteria and the process that we'd go through. And so just to add also, there are set workshops held by Financial Assistance Unit, but we can meet with groups individually as required.
And Brian?
Yes, Chair, John Hayes, I'm Sharon Hayes.
Sorry, Brian, yeah. I know it was yours on the issue of the Alpha. That might have been for Sarah Brian.
But just I agree with a number of issues that are raised by the PIC, and this proportionality has, thrown up a few difficulties. And I suppose part of my problem would be if it's based on the number of attendees or owners, how do you know that the event's over when you're judging them in advance? The groups out there would need the money before the event starts.
That's right.
Well, at least a certain proportion of it. And yet we're saying the amount that's going to be awarded is by the number of people that turn up at it, which isn't going to happen out there. And I agree, the number of people who made application for this didn't realise that the numbers that attended there, or that the money that they might receive was dependent on the number of people that the visitor event. They did know that it would reach attract a certain number of people, but not that it had a big bearing on that. That's quite a substantial loss of the reason 40% of that. So, and then the question is, it's not a straight line. If you have 1,000, you're in the bottom end of it, but you should be reaching 2, 5, 10, 100,000. What is that line? I think that means that it's going to be.
We can take those points into consideration through the chair, and we can also look at the proportionality and make sure that that's explained better to the applicants coming in.
Glenn, you're looking at the same item?
Yes, just on the same item. First of all, Chair, I'd like to commend Marie. I think this year the call has worked quite successfully. I know there's a few issues that I need to address from one thing or another, but I think we're getting there. On the criteria, as Councillor Peter said, is there any room there to, Councillor Burn? Peter, we're friends now. Just on the criteria, is there any need to review it around Marie or anything up there? Just to simplify it a little bit more, the last question I want to ask you, is there any service money? Because I know the monies were changed and I never knew exactly where. Was it 193,000 or 190,000 was it? And there's about 132 that was used. I just wonder, is that surplus there?
Sure, it's good practice for us to review continually our funding mechanisms anyway, and this has gone through this directorate, and this fund is actually gone through the National Assistance Programme Unit, so we will work with them in any review and see what we can handle. There is an trend of loan effects, and we've not exactly that somewhere outside the region, and a paper which we're going to discuss in the committee session will require the use of some of that money.
That's everybody on that issue then, is it?
Yeah.
Brian, you're up.
Yes, thank you, Chair.
What item did you say, Brian?
Item 17. Acres for Harbour Development. I think the Moon Transfer did have a meeting with potential developers. And the way it's laid out, that we broadly support the concept with the subject to the 7 points. I'm afraid, in my opinion, those 7 points simplify very much the questions that the board transfers asked on the day. Things like, what's the housing affordable? I think we sort of agree that what those people were calling affordable housing, we didn't. Also, what the other parts of infrastructure around it that should concern us. The statement, with Newcastle and the town growing,
that place will most likely have to get large or something. So I think we have to seriously take all of those 7 points into consideration. And quite I agree, it would be nice to see that develop. I think we need to put more emphasis on the point that it needs to be developed sympathetically for the local residents and for the people of Peter.
Okay, Willie, you're looking at the same item, isn't it?
Yeah, the same item. Obviously, with an item of the regeneration of Newcastle Harbour earlier. But Brent has made some good points in regards to affordability and proportionality housing. Will local families be able to afford these apartments that they will be? But up until now, I have to say, the discussion has been mainly the yacht club. The yacht club don't speak for the Newcastle Harbour community. There's been very little discussion with local residents, even local council. That was the first opportunity I had to have a discussion after the 2 years. So apparently anonymous seems to have been arranged the yacht club on the proposed development that it has discussed. So we need, as an elected representative, we need to be ensured that we have a real opportunity to submit our views into the process and going forward. Because even at the last meeting when we discussed it with the restoration of years, the developers said they had no interest in doing that. So I think it's key that this is a historic quarter. I think it's key that there's a regeneration proposal for the entire harbour area. And we're looking outside the harbour as well and council properties. And there has to be some sort of capital fund in place from the council as well. As this is going to be a stimulus or a catalyst for regeneration at the harbour, then the council need to ensure that they put money in the process also. And as I said, the next Bogey Hill, which is the shrine of the Granite Trail, really poor condition, terrible condition over this harbour. The likes of the Newcastle Rock Hill, recently listed building also. Even up around where there's open areas like that, the historic quarters, there's no parking or anything in regards to this as we come to view these places. So this is an opportunity, I think, if we are going to do this in a sympathetic way and in a sincere way, that it has to be an overall scheme for the entire area. It just can't be developed and built a lot of apartments, and that's it all done. But, you know, because local communities have to be at the centre of this process. The development, in my opinion, the density is too large, for starters. There's no discussion about community buildings in the development. I want to see retail in that development also. They're going to have compatible businesses also, the likes of restaurants, likes of crafts, arts, just the type of water sports type business. I think they're the types of regeneration that we need in the harbour area, and not just some luxury apartments put into place. So without that, as I said, I'm happy we move in the direction we are. A development brief gets drawn up, but we as councillors have to have a real say what's in that development brief report.
Chair, can I just clarify for all members? I appreciate that the councillors met with the developer and approached the council. Council cannot work directly with any developer, and so whether you may have been presented with something that is not like data company, nor would it necessarily be the developer that we would work with. What we are suggesting, and we've only got to get the noting, is that we will develop up a proposed development brief to go out to an expression of interest, and that will take on board all the comments needed with further meetings with the councillors. Separate from any developer being present, it will be the rest of the developer that meeting was held. But I would have to reiterate that we are not working with any developer present because we cannot work with one individual.
The same issue that's been coming in.
Well, it's really late for me.
Brian, can you shut you off?
Thanks, Chair. I would concur very much with what Ryan and Brian have said. The one thing that I would, two things I would really like
to see really taken on board in this. Number one is the whole community and that they do need to be really heavily involved in that. The second thing is Newcastle is a historical harbour. I know that particular developer that made the presentation just I thought it was way over development, so I think that whenever the harbour or if it ever is done, it has to be done in a sympathetic manner, so it is so that it matches into the context of the mountains and the whole historical area. That all needs to be included in it. And the one big thing is I do not want to see it overdeveloped as one thing I'm very, very keen on. And I know whenever we were actually speaking to the developer, that particular that I know really you have indicated that's not possibly going to be one. The prices that he was talking about for an apartment there was colossal, so it was there's no local could afford them. I would not want to see that area turned into holiday homes with nobody living there, so and that's one thing I don't want to see. So that's my thoughts on it.
Okay, Michael, you're
loving it. I have to confess, I don't know the exact site. I do know roughly where it is, but we're talking about business spaces going out now, and I know, for example, in one point Canada, the only one condition that we had attached to that was that there would be no accommodation. My fear, I would fear for Newcastle that we just opened this up and started building apartment blocks that size on the shoreline along Newcastle. Newcastle is a big attractive seaside resort as it is at the moment, and it could very easily be spoiled. So it was just a warning sign up there, I've got a real concern, Princess Trust has been mentioned, and they're not a development body, they're not a developer per se, but we could get caught up in this for all the wrong reasons. So probably the next opportunity for this community, if we are going to sit in judgment somewhere along the way, whether it's a good idea or a bad idea, might be some merit in having a site visit to you guys.
Yeah, it is kind of property, it is, it was legal spread, so the way that's available. Sometimes you can get in, sort of under the road, it's very hard to get out in terms of the, when there was an agent appointed here and then they went to Princess Trust and somebody said, well, that's sort of the actual problem. So it all seems a bit scary in a sense. And we looked at it, I think wasn't something really sweet about someone trying to develop a hotel development on the promenade in Newcastle again. I do think that we should, given that today's kind of terms of tourism, I think we'd be better than trying to run that road the tourism side of the season. However, I know we can address the housing issues in the good places and all the sites, people know.
Brian, I'm going to be very brief. This.
Yes, well, basically, then said what I was going to say, that we don't want to see the harbour turn out that. What Declan has raised another issue with this hotel, and I think before we agree adding around Newcastle, we have to consult with the locals. Because from my being there in
Newcastle,
an awful lot of the locals in that area do not want to see a hotel there because they think they need more parking in Newcastle.
Michael, very briefly.
Yeah, just clarification, Murray. Whenever we got the presentation, so we did this development, there's one strip of land in there that's owned by someone else. There's now an into receivership. If the council's going to purchase that, we own the rest. So that it all will work in a package. Because if you didn't, the way the developer said that, if it wasn't all together, they couldn't make it work.
Okay, the last person speaking on this is Marie Dallas or someone's great, and then we'll move it on.
Sure, I am again going to reiterate we have not agreed to work with any developer. This is us looking at a potential to put out a development brief to look at what we can do in Newcastle. You simply got a presentation from somebody who has expressed an interest in relation to land purchase, is something we're not considering at present.
Item 20, this item is deemed to be restricted by virtue of paragraph 3 of Schedule 6 of the Local Government Act. Information related to the financial or business service of any particular person and the public may be by resolution excluded during the items of business. So if there's anybody in your member of council that can delete, they're all gone. So we can move on then. Good winded. Ready, Glenn, seconded by Harry. Okay, so the proposal is City Emerging Festival should be moved from the 27th of September now to the old site with the proposed visit, which is used to with another event program, one show charge to the city, and that the event budget is allocated to the event or festival.
Chair, just to grab for the record, the communications regarding this are good and due to the potential partner that we're working with.
No statements, John.
I don't know what this is about.
John, I. Okay, well, thanks very much.
I'm sorry, I'm sorry. 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 I'm sorry.